So prayer. Now, thank you, Lord, for the way that your unfailing love has carried Mick through. And we can hear in Scripture that Jesus said, there's a wide path and there's a narrow path. And it's so easy just to find yourself drifting off to that wide path. And Lord, I pray for people who have come here this morning who find themselves maybe drifting off to that wide path. Thank you for bringing him here, and you have already started their journey back to that narrow path, the path of discipleship, the path that you want them on, the path where their life leads to love and hope and joy and peace and a relationship with you. Well, thank you for the way that you have spoken through Mick this morning. And we pray now that as we look at Psalm 130 a little bit more, that you open our eyes to it, that you speak through it to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a psalm that's about 3,000 years old and has spoken to millions of people. I'm pretty sure it would be millions of people and shifted them a fair bit. God has done amazing things through this psalm. This psalm is the favorite psalm. I've got to have my first slide up. Thank you. This psalm, Psalm 130, and if you've bought your Bibles, I encourage you to open it up and have a look through that. We'll be going through each of those verses a little bit more in detail. And in this series, it's called God's Broad Shoulders, where we bring the emotions that we have and bring them to God and say, God, deal with them, please. So 130. This is the favorite psalm of Luther, of Wesley, of Augustine, of Bunyan, who wrote the Pilgrim's Progress, of some pretty important Christian people. The psalm is actually, in Latin, it's called De Profundis. You may have heard that phrase, De Profundis, and it's become a bit famous. For that kind of, there's artwork and there's stories and there's music written around, and you see this De Profundis. And if you see that, that's Psalm 130 that they're talking about. De Profundis is a Latin phrase that means out of the depths, I cry out. Out of the depths, I cry out. That's how it starts. So what is the depths that it's talking about? Well, it's not talking about there's this person who's in a hole somewhere and he needs to climb out of that hole. It's talking about emotional hole, isn't it? It's talking about suffering. It's talking about the hurt and pain and the hole of your own making. If you read on, it talks about the sins, and Mick's already brought those out. So it's a hole or the depths of your own sin. And out of those depths, I cry out. I've been thinking, we don't often cry out in our society and cry just, please help. I'm thinking maybe, well, actually my kids do if they've run out of toilet paper. You can hear that from the other side of the house. But I was thinking about a story of Nicole and I and the kids, and we were in Port Lincoln in the Eyre Peninsula. There's beautiful beaches there. Have you ever been to Coffin Bay National Park? A beautiful beach called Almonta Beach, where you can do some amazing fishing for salmon. And this was on a Sunday afternoon, I'm pretty sure it was, with some friends of ours that were ministers from the Salvo Church just down the road. And this is a beach that you can drive your car along if you've got a four-wheel drive. They had a four-wheel drive, and we've got told four-wheel driving, it's pretty simple. You just point and shoot with that automatic. That's how you do it. So we were driving along this beach, and it's actually really soft sand along here. Very, very soft sand. So I said, look, we'll be okay. I've kind of got ourselves out of difficulties before. Let's go for it, because there's some great fish to have be had, and we'll have a good time at the beach. Almonta Beach is quite a long way away from anything else. You have to drive over sand hills to get there. You can sort of see them in the distance there. As we're going along, it's getting towards the evening. We've had a great time. We've had a bit of a picnic on the beach, and the car in front of us gets stuck. That's the people that we're with, the Salvos. They get completely bogged. I had said that you need to drive sort of closest towards the, the ocean rather than at the top, because that's where it's not as soft, the sand, and you won't get bogged there, but that wasn't quite the case. They got bogged really bad. So we stop our car, and we've got like a snatch strap. So we start. Actually, I didn't do that straight away. It's just straight. First thing that you do is you take out some of the sand from underneath there, and you roll it back and forth, put it in reverse. Nothing was working. So we attach the strap from our car to their front of the car, and I start reversing out. But it turns out my car's stuck as well. So we've got both cars stuck right up to our axles in very soft sand, and so we get the kids to get some seaweed and put them under the tires and dig around, and maybe we can get out. Nothing is working. It's getting pretty desperate, and I look at the ocean, and it's kind of like one of those beaches where it's a bit of a cliffy type thing, and there's the water there, and the tide is coming in, and it goes through my head, this is one of those beaches where people have lost cars. And we're actually sort of both bogged on a bit of a slope like that as well, which isn't that great. So we're both bogged a little bit like that, and I'm getting a little bit frustrated and a bit scared, and I'm actually starting to think I'm going to need to cry out for help here now. This is the depths. And I look around, and the kids are just playing on the beach. I'm like, do you understand what is going on? We are about to lose our car, possibly. And this costs a lot of money, this car. And we are a long way from anywhere. This is serious, kids. Wasn't the best parenting moment I've ever had in my life. But I want them to understand how serious it was. And they just kept playing. The sun was starting to set. The tide was coming in more. In the distance, I see a car rolling in. Somebody, unlike us, looks like they knew what they're doing. They've got stuff all over their cars and snorkels and all those sorts of things and Max tracks and stuff like that. And I bolt to them. I just race as fast as I possibly can, crying out, help, help, we need your help, come here, oh, we're so stuck. Both of us are. And I cry out for help. They come and they know what they're doing and they put tracks in and off we go, both of us, and we're set free. I cried out for help, and we got the help. But if I hadn't have cried out for help, we would have lost our car. We would have somehow worked out a way to walk back to Port Lincoln. It was getting pretty desperate. We're talking about out of the depths, I cry out. When have you last cried out really loud? Saying, help, help, I can't do it on my own. I've tried. And it's just no good. Maybe there's emotions that you've gone through some really difficult times. Maybe you're not going through them now and things are great, but they might come along soon. What do you do in those moments? This is a psalm for you, Psalm 130. And there's about six stepping points to get yourself out of that hole. The first one is to cry out. This is a little bit hard for some people in our society. I've got a picture of a man crying. You don't see that very often. We don't tend to show our emotions. We tend to have a stoic kind of attitude, a stiff upper lip. To show emotion like that is a sign of weakness, isn't it? I don't think so. To show emotion actually is a sign of strength that says, look, I'm okay with how I'm feeling and I am willing to accept some help, to cry out to God. So the first step is actually to feel. Jesus cried, didn't he? We tend to think that, no, we can't have these emotions. But as Mick was saying, that for him, his faith is all about what's in the heart. So we have to let that bubble up. Second one is to surrender. It says, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for help. And I've got some pictures of, I think that's Italian troops actually surrendering. And that the universal symbol of surrender is that, isn't it? And you might see that in kind of Pentecostal type churches where people raise up their hands like that and you go, that's a bit kind of weird. It's not really my style. It's okay. What are they doing? They're saying, I surrender, Lord. By surrendering, it's saying, you know, I got this car really stuck and I've tried everything by myself and I can't do it anymore. I need someone else's help. I surrender myself to you, Lord. I cry out for mercy. So the second one is surrender. And sometimes that's really hard because we might be a self-made man or we might be a do-it-yourself woman. And it really goes out of our personality to accept help, to surrender our own cognitive abilities to get ourselves out of this hole. And to accept that actually we don't have all the answers. I surrender to you, God. You're God and I'm not. So the second step is surrender. Third one, seek God's forgiveness. And you can read that in the psalm. It says that if I were to count all my sins, they would be so outnumbered. But Lord, you forgive them anyway. This psalm is a song of ascent, and we talked about this last week with Psalm 121. Song of ascent is what people would use in their pilgrimage to go to the temple in Jerusalem. As they journey to the temple, they would sing these songs. And in this song, it's getting a bit further on, and in the inner sanctuary in the temple, there was this huge, big altar. It was like, I think it was 9 meters deep and wide, and about 5 meters tall. Huge thing. You could not miss it if you walked into the inner sanctuary. This is the altar where there would be the sacrifices. And it would smell and you would see it, and it would explode your senses. Now this altar reminds you that you're sinful when you need to bring the sacrifices to get closer to God. If you were to be a Jew at that time, coming into the temple, into the sanctuary, into the inner part of where God is, you would need to give those sacrifices. Not only that, there's these huge big bronze basins full of water, thousands and thousands of liters of water. And these bronze basins, they would remind you of how sinful you are too, and you need to be washed clean. You would actually sort of see your reflection, so to speak. And as you reflect on yourself, you go, you know, God, I've been following that wide path and not that narrow path. And who can ever stand before God clean and cleansed? No one can. But thanks to Jesus Christ, we don't have to do all those sacrifices that Jesus said, and we've talked about this right before Easter, didn't we? In Hebrews, it talks us that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Once and for all of us. So we do get to God's presence. He's forgiven us of our sins. Fourth one, wait for God. You just sang a song about that. I will wait for you. This is a little bit counterintuitive in some ways. We have a society that is very fast-paced. We want slow-cooked food at a fast-paced, at a fast-food pace, don't we? Slow-cooked food at a fast-food pace. I remember that ad of Subway where they were getting pulled pork, and this young guy comes to this guy, oh, we're doing pulled pork for tea. Oh, great. No, actually, it's for lunch. Oh, excellent. Love pulled pork. And he's on the barbecue, and he's got the pork there. How long is it going to take? Oh, I'll just need to roast this for about 13 hours and then I'll be ready for lunch. And the guy goes, oh, let's just go to Subway instead. When it comes to our faith, we see these lines, I will wait for you, I'll wait for God, I'll wait for God's timing, not my timing, as the watchman waits for the Lord. And this might be the step where others go, nah, that wider path is better for me. I don't have the time to wait. I don't have that patience. That's just not my character. That's just not who I am. But good things come to those who wait, doesn't it? Wait for the Lord. as the watchman waits for the morning. And this is interesting. So if you're in the temple, as soon as the dawn comes, you see that first spark of light, that's when they start lighting up the morning sacrifices. But as the dawn comes, and where does the sun rise? It rises in the east, doesn't it? What the priest does is actually turns back his back on the sun as he sees it. Okay, yep, we need to do the sacrifice. And now turns back on the sun and starts working with his back towards the sun. Why the back towards the sun? Because it's like, we don't worship the sun, we worship God. I'm going to turn my back and worship God. Wait for God. Fifth one, hope in Christ. You notice that we started off with, at the depths of all I've got, I cry out to you, God. That's a depths of despair, and suddenly we've got this hope now. Despair has turned to hope. Do all those other things, and you start to get a sense of hope that there is a future, that God's got a plan for this world. God's got a plan for my life. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm part of God's masterpiece. And he's got some good things for me to do. And there is hope for the world. I remember as a teenager, I used to see... do you remember those AIDS ads? They were terrible ads where they had the Grim Reaper going like that, bowling, and there'd be people at the end and they all fall over. That was scary as a kid. I was so scared. And I thought, that's the future. That, a whole lot of other things. Band-Aid was happening, and you used to see... kids with big extended stomachs in Africa. And I thought there was no hope for this world. And then I met Jesus Christ. That doesn't take away some of those sufferings. But I know that in my simplicity and that psalm that you talked about, humbly, just, you know, I don't understand it all, God, but I know that you do, and I'm glad of that. I'm going to have some eternal peace in you. Hope for the future. Hope in Christ. And last one, you'll see that it talks about receiving. I will receive your unfailing love and your full redemption. Israel will. And now that's us. Receiving unfailing love of God and full redemption. I think this is a bit of a challenge for us today. We love to give presents as adults, but we don't always receive them well, do we? I think we overthink things. I've got some pictures of, that's the Christmas child, isn't it? The Christmas box, which we do here at Burnside City. And you see those kids, and I'm pretty sure it's not staged, although in some ways it's probably staged how they're all standing, but their reaction is not staged. If you've given kids, a lot of you guys have kids or grandkids, or you see what happens when you give them presents. And they just light up. It's like, yes, cool, present, woo! Rip open the present, and there it goes. There is an excitement. They gladly take it and receive it, don't they? Give a present to an adult, and what's going through your head? It's like, oh, why are they giving me a present? Oh, is this as much as what I pay for them? Or if they've given me something, does that mean I have to give them something, you know, when it's their birthday? All these things, you overthink it, don't you? When's the last time you just ripped open a present and go, yeah, cool, thanks? Jesus says, you know, you need to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Perhaps we need to become like children and receive the gift of unfailing love and full redemption. And not go, you know, what do I need to do to get to pay you back, Lord? Just receive it. Does that make sense? So that's how we get out of the hole, out of the depths from Psalm 130. This has been a psalm that has touched many people's lives. There's many testimonies that people can give. So Wesley, founder of Methodism, he heard the choir sing this in the morning, and then in the afternoon he went to a study on Romans. And one of the Luther studies, but in that he had this sense of the Holy Spirit working in his life, and his need for God, his passion for God, and his sense that he doesn't need to do anything. It's just by grace that he's found. What are your depths that you'll find yourself in? What's going on in your life? I don't know fully what's going on for you. Can you use these steps? And if you look in the newsletter, I've just given those words in that newsletter if you want to remember it. Can this psalm be a song that you sing with the deepest of your soul? Can we cry it out? Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, thank you that you hear our voice, that you have broad shoulders, you listen. You're concerned with our emotions as well. You're concerned with our feelings. And so we cry out to you for help. We surrender, Lord. We accept that we can't do this life on our own. That we keep trying to take it back from you and say, yeah, it's okay, God, I've got it now. I can do it myself. It's all right. You can focus on someone else now. But God, let us keep surrendering to you. And Lord, we seek your forgiveness. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who died for us, saved us, redeemed us. And not because we asked for it or because we earned it, just because he loved us. Lord, help us to wait for you. Give us patience for those unanswered prayers, those moments where it seems like you're distant. Help us to wait for you as the watchman waits for the morning. Help us to hope in Christ. Hope for the future. And finally, Lord, help us to receive your gifts, your gift of the Holy Spirit, your gift of love, your gift of redemption. Not to keep giving it back and saying, no, it's okay, give it to someone else more worthy, more important. Bring a smile to our face and a joy to our heart as we receive right now the gifts of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing one final song too.